In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I'd like to take you on a little imaginative journey today. I wonder if we can think about today's gospel story like a two-act stage play. Act one, first day. Act two, second day, with a number of different characters interacting. So the question is, well, you can choose. Do you want to be in the audience or do you want to be one of the figures on the stage? How close do you want to get to the action? Well, let's look at what characters we have. We have firstly John the Baptist. We have Jesus. We have all those standing around, many of whom had just been baptized by John the Baptist. And then we probably have a few onlookers, a few sticky beaks, don't we? And in Act 2, we have action from two of John Baptist's disciples. Well, they're actually soon to become Jesus' disciples, Andrew and another unnamed friend. And then right at the end, we have Simon, Andrew's brother. So, firstly, John the Baptist. Well, he's certainly not the picture of sartorial elegance, is he? If you remember Peter's sermon from, I think it was 2 weeks ago. And he doesn't have sweet breath after eating all those locusts. Anyway, he's been baptizing many in the River Jordan, including Jesus. And of course, right at the beginning of the Gospel of John, if you go back to the start of the first chapter, John the Baptist is described as the one who would point to the light that was coming into the world. That is the Messiah, the Anointed One. So the whole purpose of John the Baptist's life was to do just that, speak out and point to Christ. He also says at the same time, I'm not the principal actor here. He's always pointing away from himself to Jesus. Well, what about Jesus? Well, he's just been baptized in the River Jordan by John, had the Spirit descend on him, and has been confirmed in his vocation by God his Father, who calls him my beloved Son. Now, look, there is Jesus walking across the stage with a spotlight on him. And there's John the Baptist pointing to him and saying, look here, the Lamb of God. What does that mean? Well, he goes on to say, he takes away the sin of the world. So that's everything, not necessarily the individual sins, it's sin of the whole world. The distortions, the misrepresentations, etc. Now, if that phrase, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, sounds familiar, it is, because we sing it during the Eucharistic prayer. You take note of it today if you're not quite sure where it goes. Now, we have another character, Andrew. So I think we need to listen to him. This is what he says. Well, I'm following Jesus with my friend, and Jesus suddenly turns to us and asks us this piercing question. What do you want? I gulp. What do I want indeed? Well, I'm not sure what I want, but what I do know is that this figure of Jesus is so compelling, and I need to know more about him. And I've got all these things in my life that I'm not so happy about. So what happens is that I and my friend blurt out in unison, where are you staying? Now, I know it's not really a direct answer to Jesus' questions. We're a bit embarrassed, but at least there is something behind it, I think, about wanting to know more, which we did. And then comes that amazing invitation from Jesus, come and see. Well, we did indeed go with Jesus and we stayed with that intriguing figure that day and night. And there was something about what we saw and heard that then compelled me to go and find my brother Simon and tell him we had found the Messiah. And so we remained, we stayed. We abided with Jesus that day into the night, and we kept on staying for 3 years until he was put to death on the cross. And that ongoing connection with Jesus has transformed our lives. Of course, we often messed things up and failed, but amazingly, Jesus never rejected us. Now, let's come back to the present if you can. Let's just leave the stage, come back to the church. Here we all are. Let's reflect on this. Well, we've just witnessed the beginning of Jesus' disciples' group, a group that would witness extraordinary things in the ministry of Jesus over the next 3 years. Of course, Jesus has only just entered into his own sense of call at his baptism, and now he's calling others to immediately follow. Things have happened fast, and those disciples have become true students of Jesus over the years as they keep on staying with him. In the ancient world, to be the student of a teacher was to commit yourself to living in the same atmosphere, breathing the same air, always with your teacher. No coming and going like there is these days with students. Remaining with Jesus meant remaining in a living connection with him. So those disciples were like apprentices, hanging out with Jesus, getting into the rhythm of God in action. They witness things, ask questions, because it's okay to ask questions. Touch, eat, drink, they pray together. And of course, they keep following long before they really understand what's actually going on. So that group of the first disciples expanded and expanded and expanded, and eventually, 2,000 years later, we have an ongoing worldwide community of disciples that we call the church. This community is not just private individuals coming to church and dipping into something soft and sugary and superficial. And at that point, I'm going to get a glass of water so I don't keep coughing. So let me repeat that. The community that we call the church is not just private individuals coming to church and dipping into something soft and sugary and superficial. The mark of a living church is that it is a learning church, hungry and thirsty for righteousness, eager to learn, to be challenged. Is that what we are doing here? This is very different to being just a Sunday church. We're all beginners in some ways in this business of learning what it means to be disciples of Jesus. How do we do that though? How do we keep on being a disciple, a learner? Well, one of the ways we learn is through immersing ourselves in the scriptures and particularly the gospels. They're not just records of teaching by Jesus. but they introduce us to a person and invite us to walk in his company. So as we read the Gospels, we're watching Jesus at work, as did the first disciples. And we can imagine ourselves being there, seeing for ourselves, absorbing. And like the disciples, we don't have to be passive learners. We can ask questions. We can have doubts. And as we read, we realise that the Jesus of the Gospels is not just in the past, dead, past history, but alive and active now in welcoming and restoring people through the loving, nourishing life of the body of Christ, of the church community. So that's reading the Gospels to help with our learning. What else do we do? We come to the Eucharist, the action of the body of Christ, and there we recognise Jesus at work in the here and now, the bread and the wine, the outward visible signs of a mystery so beyond us. Life-giving mystery is breaking through. Thirdly, we attend to prayer. In prayer, we are giving space for God's action to come through. We learn to see Jesus at work in our ordinary, everyday context. We reflect on our day. Where has God been present in my day? We are called to be disciples, to be learners for life. And the learning we have doesn't come to an end. We go on and on. We never get to the point of saying, oh, I've learned enough now. If any of you here today want assistance in this learning, reading the scriptures, praying, learning what the Eucharist is about, please come and speak to Peter or myself, and we can provide resources for this. As the 4th century Gregory of Nyssa in Asia Minor said, the Christian life is a constant stretching out into an unknown future which is constantly expanding. So we never come to the end of it, of our learning. It's a lifelong learning project, as the disciples found. So listen to that question from Jesus. What do you want? What do you seek? Let it resound in your heart. Sit with it. Mull over it. Respond to Jesus, even if you're not quite sure what you want. Jesus never stops inviting us to come and see and experience the amazing love that he has to offer us. He invites us to keep in close living connection with him. Amen.